What's up, everybody? How are you doing? Happy Friday. Welcome to the Local Marketing Institute Q&A Live, brought to you by the fantastic Greg Gifford with Search Lab Digital on X, Twitter. Greg Gifford and myself, Ben Fisher, with Steady Demand at The Social Dude. And you can join us where we have over 2,500 members.
Sorry, man. It's just like a pain in the ass to go update it every week, you know?
I know it is. I know.
It's probably actually like 1,500 and the rest is like 1,000 spammers, but you know.
Oh, no. It's more like 200, but we're good. So, so where we... anyway. And like we say every other week, if you would like Greg and I in your ear while you're on the go, download us on your Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and iHeartRadio.
Bam.
All right. And with that, all of your technical difficulties today are brought to you by Zoom Technologies. Hashtag just saying. We had some fun stuff happen today. There was a Zoom update, which sucks, by the way, when you're on it, like, you know, you have a deadline.
Yep.
Oh, well.
Super fun.
Is what it is. Is what it is. How are you doing, my friend? What's going on with you?
Nothing, man. Dealing with plumbing issues this morning, but, you know, nice to actually be home for a couple of days in my ridiculous travel schedule, and bummed I'm missing Local U today, and bummed I don't get to go see everybody in London next week.
Yeah, you know, man, I'm bummed that I'm not going to Local U this time either. But you know what? Well, I mean, it's in Canada, actually, which would have been fun. But I'm leaving for the UK tomorrow. So
that's pretty awesome. I'm leaving for Portugal a week from tomorrow. So that doesn't suck.
Nice. Very nice. Hey, what's up, Mark? Good morning. And what's going on, Nate? Good to see you.
An anonymous attendee is here again because they're already submitting questions.
Oh, yeah. We love you, anonymous attendee. We're going to have to get you a t-shirt if we can ever find out who you are. All right. So with that, let's just get started really quickly. So what we want to say is today we are light on questions, like usual, kind of, maybe. We have lots of leftover from last. Yeah, Google. Yeah, swag. Nate, are you a anonymous attendee now? Is that what you're saying? what's up, John? So basically, if you have any questions, please drop them in the Q&A. If you'd like us to troubleshoot something, please drop it in the Q&A. If you'd like us to rip apart, I mean, audit your Google Business profile or your website. No, rip apart's actually better said. Drop it in the Q&A. Be happy to do it. Trust me, we won't embarrass you. So with that being said, I guess we'll just get into it, Greg.
Let's do it. So it's Friday the 13th. We can't, oh, you know, we should have had like the, whatever the.
We should have had a lot.
Sound effect, right? Or we should have had some like creepy music to play because it's Friday the 13th. And as everybody knows, I'm really obsessed with horror movies.
Whoa, what? What do you mean that you like movies?
Yeah, I know, it's kind of surprising, right? Like,
I just thought you got those tattoos for the fuck of it.
No, yeah, like no reason. I actually don't even watch movies. I just thought they'd be cool tattoos.
I knew it. Okay.
But being Friday the 13th, we have an interesting leadoff item in today's news.
All right. So the first thing we have up here is Bright Local. They did the SEO House of Horrors this year. So this is kind of cool. This is kind of fun, actually. If you go check it out, you're going to see Greg up there at the top. He has went ahead and did a custom video just for this. And as you would expect, it's horror themed. And then there's a bunch of other neat little things that they're there from the rest of the industry as well. So,
but mostly go watch my video because I spent a lot of time on it and it's pretty cool.
Yeah. So there's your call to action. Go watch Greg's video. But we've got Claire, the Crypt Keeper Carlisle. We've got Melissa Poltergeist Pup. Elizabeth Queen Rule. Ghoul Rule, actually. I'm sorry. Ghoul Rule. Blake Dracula Denman, Amy Toman. I mean, I'm just saying, it's cool. Go see it, go check it out, support everybody. Tell us what you think about it. All right, so let's see. Tell us a little bit about the context of what yours was all about, man. I mean, I know it's about horror, but what else?
Well, they, reached out and said, "Hey, we're putting together some scary GBP stories or scary local search stories for Friday the 13th, and you're kind of the king of horror, and everybody knows you're into movies. I'm sure you want to participate. You want to write something up for us." And I hate writing, so I was like, "Yeah, no." And they were like, "Can you just do something like you just did this?" I actually, so my actual presentation at Brighton SEO was about product management for SEO, but then someone got sick and had to drop out of the local SEO session. So like a week before Brighton SEO, they were like, "Hey, can you just drop in with something that you already have? We don't want you to put the effort of creating a session last minute, but I'm sure you've got a deck." And I'm like, "Yeah, I can use this other one." And so it was like a GBP optimization deck. And at the end, I had some jokey stuff about bad examples that are scary of questions and answers gone wrong in the wild. So they were like, "Why don't you just use that and write that up?" And I'm like, "Can I just do a video instead because I hate writing?" And they were like, "Yeah, sure." Because I knew I could just get up in the video and basically use the same talk track that I did in the presentation.
Right.
But then I was like, "I can't like just do a video. I gotta like do a video."
Do
So I
a
put like
video.
a cool horror background and I photoshopped the Bright Local logo on the wall of the hallway. I wore a Halloween t-shirt and I made like I shot in front of a green screen, so it's me in front of a green screen, but I would like make a little scared sound like there was lightning, so then I put thunder in and made the lightning flash. Like it's a whole goofy fun thing that like, I had to do something fun.
Right on, dude. Right on. All right. So, everybody go check it out. Throw it up on Twitter and say, hey, watch Greg do X. Just saying. No, not
Yeah, like
X.
Steven
That's
said,
on
I've got the
Twitter.
Elm Street right there, and then a little bit further to the side, I've got the newspaper article from the day after the Halloween massacre. And then I got all kinds of, I don't think I have any horror stuff over here, over there. I got little horror figures right here. Then I've got other stuff there you can't see, but this whole shelf right here is all
Star
horror
Wars.
figures. Right here, right there is all custom horror Lego guys. So like that's a good one. Leatherface. So they're all like custom painted. I spent way too much money getting a bunch of custom horror Lego minifigs. So yeah, I'm pretty ridiculously obsessed with horror stuff.
Yeah, just slightly, just slightly. All right. So again, call to action. Throw your stuff in the Q&A. We are here to help. All right. With that, from the news side, so basically, local services ads. If you're involved in that, then you'll understand just how cool and important this is. We saw it, and a couple other people have seen it now. So I think it's rolling out. It's a little bit buggy. But now people can you when you're doing local services ads, Google's lead system, right? You can get your leads via text message now, which is pretty freaking cool. I mean, they were already had an awesome way of getting your leads, but now you can get them through text too, which is, makes sense, by the way. I mean, because a lot of service providers like plumbers, right? They don't have time. They don't know that they have a dashboard that they have to go to. They have their cell phone with them though all the time. So makes total freaking sense. Okay. With that, it wouldn't be a good local show if we didn't talk about SGE every once in a while. Google's Search Generative Experience. Looks like they've made two changes really that are interesting. One is they've kind of shortened. Actually, not kind of. They have shortened the text that is visible when you do a generative search. So it gives you a basically a teaser, like about three or four lines, and then you can expand it if you want to. I don't know if that's just a test for them or if they're just saying, you know what, we've gotten a lot of feedback and people hate this fucking feature.
Yeah,
So,
probably more what it is.
I mean, personally, I still don't use it and I love AI stuff. And then the other thing is that, and this actually I will look forward to, it does not work today. Okay, I will say that. Even though they've launched it and they say it's out there, we know Google, things can take a month to roll out. Anyway, you're now going to be able to type in, create a picture of Greg Gifford as Leatherface. And it might actually just do that. So you'll be able to create images directly in Google search. You won't have to go out to Bard or anything like that. So yeah, it's kind of like another copycat feature from Bing because you've been able
But
to
I
do it with Bing
wonder
for a while.
how well that image creation is going to work. There's no way it's going to be like mid-journey level.
So actually, that what the Google is going to be using Adobe Firefly.
But I
So
haven't
an
played with
Adobe
Firefly, so I don't know how good it is.
Firefly rocks.
Does it really?
Yes. So you've got DALL-E, XDL, Midjourney, right? And then, well, and then that's that basically. So DALL-E 3, which I've gotten a little bit of a preview. DALL-E 3 is awesome. DALL-E 3 can actually do text on images.
Ooh, that's pretty rad.
Yes. So it's the closest that's come. I mean, I still love Midjourney, right? Absolutely. But yeah, DALL-E 3 freaking rocks. So, and if you want a preview of DALL-E 3, just go to Bing because it's using DALL-E 3. You can do, I think, up to 5 images per session or something like that. Yeah, the Bing image creator. Exactly, right. So it's powered by DALL-E 3, which is nice. You can get DALL-E 3 in ChatGPT 4.0, of course. But yeah.
Was Thorcat Midjourney?
Thorcat was Midjourney. Yep, exactly. So yeah, actually, I should probably go check out Thorcat and DALL-E 3. But thanks, Nate. Yeah, 25 free credits per day. Cool. So yeah, so I mean that's pretty cool. I mean, I'll be excited to kind of see what Google's looks like because I know Firefly and Firefly is just awesome. So yeah, we'll see how it comes out and what it looks like. And you know what? If that's all the benefit that we get from AI, and AI is a cool assistant, I'm happy.
Oh man, we've got the coolest AI assistant that we're getting set up right now that it's gonna be amazing. So I'm excited. I think there's some really cool applications. I don't think it's like, let's go use AI to write all our content and do all our SEO for us. It's like
No.
there was a company at Bright Local that literally said, you don't need humans to do SEO anymore because it can all be automated through AI. And I'm like,
No.
yeah, have fun with that, guys.
Sorry. I had somebody who was asking me like, practical use of AI for what they have, and they make postcards and they mail them out, right? It's part of their business. And they do actually, and they have like terabytes of data for the automotive industry. So they can go down to the level and say, okay, in your area, these are the types of cars that are actually selling. These are the types of cars that'll sell well for you, blah, 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 right? So that's all the data sets, huge data set. So what they're going to do is they're going to, while the salesperson is talking on the phone, they'll input the URL into a tool. That tool will go ahead and scrape their website, mock it up, and mock it up into a postcard based on the data from the automotive industry that is associated with their dealership.
Wow, that's pretty cool.
And it'll come up with a promo and everything like that. Like you should be selling, $25 Teslas or whatever. I don't know. Anyway, but kind of interesting. But that's an AI use, right? Using AI to crunch data. Anyway. All right.
With that, we're done with the news,
We
and
are done
it's
with the
time
news.
to get to questions. Our first question is from John Moffat, who is here today. So
Hey,
we're keeping
John.
the trend alive. John's question is about moving a brick and mortar to a service area business. And his question is, I have a client that closed an office and now works out of the house. The previous SEO provider changed the service area, but never the actual address. We have taken over the account. The previous provider produced zero results. Will I have a problem proving the change of address since it is no longer a brick and mortar location? I had to record a video for the last client that moved. That was 3 weeks ago, and the change is still pending. A video will not be useful in this case. Your thoughts, please. As Ben answers this question, John, please pop into the chat and at least let us know what business type it is. And go ahead.
So we're going to wait. Okay. All right. So, gosh, I love grilled cheese sandwiches, you know? So we're just going to pull this one apart. Okay. And so we do have John.
Telecom wholesaler.
Telecom wholesaler.
Is that even eligible for a GBP?
That was the first thing running through my mind. Telecom wholesaler. Do they own the product? John. They're brokers. They do not qualify for a Google Business Profile. Sorry. So the way it works is basically there maybe their business qualifies, but they probably broker out for a ton of different things. So, but brokers in general, it's not their business. So maybe, I don't know, crap. You know what? If you want to send a DM from Zoom to only me, I can go take a look at it actually really quickly and tell you if they are. Because there might be some ifs and thens. You know what I mean? It's going to depend.
Yeah, it depends.
So let me answer this question regardless of the fact of whether your client is actually qualifying. So we'll take this as if, let's say they were a garage door company and they moved from a showroom to their home. So let's just do that. All right. So client closes an office, works out of their home. Very common. Previous SEO provider changed the service area, but not the actual address. Doesn't matter. Doesn't impact ranking. You've taken over the account. The previous provider produced zero results. I love how companies always say, my SEO provider provided me zero results. You know what? I'll bet you, Greg, you'll love this. Usually the reason is reports suck. Just saying. It's usually not the work. It's the report. Okay. Anyway. So we'll have a problem proving the change of address since it's no longer a brick and mortar location. No, not really. I mean, it's a funky process, which I'll go into in a second because I have a question. So, well, thanks, John. I will take a look at that in 2 seconds. So my first question, though, is going to be is, well, when you're saying moved, right, did they move within the same zip code? Just out of curiosity. Why don't you answer that question real quick? Actually, while you're answering that question, did they move in the same zip code? I'm going to go take a look at the GBP. Okay, so the GBP is currently hiding its address. Got it. Okay, need to know that. Their telecom provider. Website is not secure. That's not a good thing, by the way.
Yeah, get their site secure, bro.
Oh, yeah, I know exactly. These are IT guys. Okay. Outsourced IT is what they do. Yeah, internet, voice, surveillance. But the real question is going to be, is do they go to their customers? Okay, well, that kind of takes care of that. All right, so...
Can I be a little bit of a jerk?
Of course you can.
It's kind of funny that they're outsourced IT, yet they don't have a valid security certificate on their website.
But they do cloud hosting. Okay, so so it's a different county. The first question you're going to have to ask yourself is, because it's a service area-based business, do you want them to rank in the new county that they're in? Or do you care if they still rank where they had the storefront? Why don't you answer that question, John? All right. Well, okay. So while John is typing out his answer, I will answer it both ways. And that is this is okay. So, okay, you're still talking to hosts, by the way, just so you know, John. You want to rank in the, well, again, the question is actually very pointed. Do you want to rank where it was verified before, or do you want to rank where it is verified now?
I think he's saying he wants to rank in both because he's wanting to rank in the entire southern half of the state.
Well, that's not going to happen.
Right.
So, but it's a very binary question. And the answer is going to dictate what you do. So let's just say you want to rank where they are now then. Okay, cool. You've chosen the hardest way to go. So basically, just for the cheap seats, if you didn't care about ranking and you're using it, say, for reviews and things of that nature, you could just leave the address where it was basically at the storefront because Google knows the address. You haven't changed it. Since you do want to rank where they are now, now, what you're going to need to do is, and you're going to love this process. I know I do, not. And that is, you're going to need to go into your Google Business profile. You're going to need to go ahead to the location section. You're going to need to check the address, type in the new address, save that, wait 30 seconds, go back to location, uncheck show this address, save it again. And then you're going to go ahead and you're going to have to re-verify at that point. Yes, exactly. You can leave it where it is as long as you're not suspended. So you can leave it where it is, and that's what I'm saying is, so the address is depend g the address tells Google where to rank you, okay, whether you're showing it or not. It's whatever the verified address is. So it's going to still rank, where it's at. And if you're okay with that, then just leave it be, basically. Yeah, just leave it where it's at. So anyway, otherwise, yes, you will have to re-verify. You will have to do video. You will have to prove that they have an office inside of the home. You will have to prove authority over that location. You will have to go through all of the legal hoops and things like that, and which you could get suspended. Absolutely. All right. Woo. Yeah, that's exactly what I thought you were going to say. All right. So, well, but thank you, John, for the question. It was a really good one. It's a problem that a lot of people have. So, all right. So, I think this is actually more of a statement than it is a question.
I would love to answer this statement, though.
So, Dave Davis, 2 weeks ago, asked the question, is he here actually? Steve here. Doesn't look like it. No.
But he's going to be
Well,
listening later. We could still answer his statement slash question.
exactly. So Dave Davis writes, Yext, what a waste.
I think the crowd would agree.
Actually, you know what? Don't
There
let's
are some
ask the
use cases,
crowd.
though.
Let's ask the crowd.
There are some use cases. You do have to admit, if you've got like a franchise with 1,000 locations and a very small team that has to manage those locations, there is some value in using Yext as a tool to go to one place to log in and manage a ton of locations. There are other tools that do the same thing, though. And if you're really just using Yext to manage a bunch of business profiles, there's definitely cheaper options that do exactly the same thing. I would definitely try to avoid Yext. Most people, Yext still really tries to sell people on listings management, location management, citation management, and let's all be honest, citations don't really fucking matter anymore. So why? And even for the small, infinitesimal signal that does matter related to citations, Yext only hits, what, 65 sites maybe? And for any vertical, there's maybe five of those that even matter. So you're paying to put yourself on a bunch of sites that don't matter.
Yep.
And they're not actually changing the information. Yext data feed supersedes whatever is there on the website. So as soon as you stop paying Yext, all that work goes away. So not really a great solution.
Yep. I'll tell you, man, I wish I had a microphone, a little microphone, and recorded when I was speaking with Gary Isles, or
Yeah.
I can't, is that how you say his last name? Isles?
It's the
He
closest I
is.
can say is Ish.
So Gary from
Yeah.
Google. and I asked him specifically, I was like, do structured or unstructured citations help with Google search anymore? And he's like, no. It's like, Google knows about the entity. You know, that's it, basically.
I mean, it makes
So,
sense. Like
yeah.
back in the day when you know how it is, Google's like, hey guys, you're gonna get penalized if you don't go responsive because making your website responsive makes the web better for everybody. So everybody goes and does it, and then they really turn off that signal. Or then it's like, hey, go use structured data to mark up all the content on your site and we'll give you some bonuses for it. And everybody goes to do it, then they take it away because they just want us to help them do free work for them,
And
right?
test, right?
So way back in the day, they had us all do citations so that they could test their stuff to see if their entity detection algorithm was accurate compared to what businesses and marketers said that it was. But it really doesn't make sense that if you've got business A and business B, business A goes and gets 50 citations a month and business B doesn't. Does that really mean business A is a better answer than business B and should rank higher?
No, of course not.
Absolutely not. And same situation. Let's say today you've got a business that business A and business B. Business A, 100% of their stuff is exactly the same everywhere. Business B, half of their stuff has an address that's different for some reason, but all those half are sites that no human is ever going to see. Google's not going to penalize you for that. Who cares?
Exactly. So we'll ask this to the audience. All right, everybody, fire off. Do you like Yext, or do you think that Yext should be thrown through a hoop of fire? Nate loathes Yext. Ooh, it's not even hate, it's loathe. Sheila, hoop of fire. Danielle, boo. Boo, fire. Yext is
So
the Antichrist. Okay, all
general
right.
sentiment is
Exactly. All right,
which
cool.
means now it is your turn.
All right, let's do this.
And it's a question from Steven, who I'm pretty sure is here today,
Oh,
right?
yeah, Steven's here.
Steven's always here.
We love Steven.
Old reliable, just like the geyser. All right. If you see a business name that is incorrect and then you suggest an edit, what's the difference between reporting the change of business versus fixing the name? I'm not quite sure what that
Say what? Oh, I
hey,
know what
quick.
he's asking. No, I know exactly what he's asking.
Okay.
Use redress or suggest an edit.
Oh,
That's what
gotcha.
he's asking. Yeah. So it still depends.
Yeah,
So
it depends.
right. So basically, it's where to start? Okay. Suggest an edit. If you're going to suggest an edit, make sure you're using a sock puppet account. That means make sure that you ask Greg for his login and password, and that way you can go ahead and use his account. And if his account gets suspended, it's okay. It doesn't affect you whatsoever. So, but no, use a sock puppet account. And yes, do suggest an edit because Google's algorithm actually does learn from this. It is all AI, it's all automated. So, do suggest that the chances of your edit actually going through are going to be now super duper tiny. Even if you have a powerful account like mine, right? Suggesting it doesn't work all the time because again, it's all automated. So I would always suggest an edit first. This is, by the way, this is also Google's directive. We know this internally because we're product experts. They don't say this out publicly, but we're allowed to say it. Suggest an edit work is what you should always do first. Now, let's say it works till it doesn't, they change it back. No problem. Good for you. So now what you do is go to the redressal form. Can you bring up the redressal form and pop it in the chat real quick, Greg? Thanks. So you go to the redressal form, you fill it out, make sure you fill out the right reason. So, you know, like it doesn't exist. You know, it's fraudulent or misleading, you know, things like that, right? Pick the right one And then what you do is you'll go down and you have an area where you can say why this is fraudulent or misleading or was whatever it is, and put your details there. So put down like, I was not able to find them in the Secretary of State. Here's a link to the Secretary of State. They do not appear to have a business license. Again, show where you went to look for this. I looked at Street View. They have no Street View. I went to their location. They have no signage. Have that uploaded somewhere, maybe Google Drive. Show them that. Show them the evidence that you have. And then, their name doesn't match their website. Okay, give them a screenshot. Make them do as little work as possible is basically what it comes down to. And then Google may take action. Now, make sure that when you do the submission that you keep track of the case ID. It's a number that has four zeros sandwiched in the middle. The reason for this is now you want to make a little case file. You submitted company X on this date. This is what happened. I submitted a redressal. Here's the case ID. Why? Because what if they change it back right away? Okay, so Google changes it. Google usually will, by the way, reach out to them and say, yeah, don't do this. Okay. And people ignore those emails or they just don't get them and they'll change it back. So what do? You go back. You go to the redressal form again. You type out all everything that you just did before, do it again. Except the difference is you're going to lead off with, this was addressed by Google on this date with this redressal ID. So now you have a history and you can show a pattern of abuse. Google needs to see this pattern of abuse. They do not have a database that connects these dots. So you need to provide it for them. And if it happens more than 2 to 3 times, you actually have a 50-50 shot that they will suspend the business. So anyway, that's that. All right. So what does Steven say? Competitors who have location GP, but not the business name. I think it's been working. You are welcome. No problem, Steve. Good question. Dude, I think if we ever do get these anonymous attendee t-shirts, I think we should get people like Steven and Sheila and all everybody who comes here
And Max,
regularly.
yeah, all the regulars should get one for sure.
Well, no, I think we should get them a custom one. Like, for instance, have it just say on the back, I am not anonymous attendee, and have like a name tag on the front, something like that.
That would be
Okay.
fun.
All right.
Okay, so we are at the halfway point. We still have some questions left over from last week from some people that are here today.
Yep.
Should we continue on with those or switch to stuff that has been asked today?
I think we should go with what the audience wants.
All right, audience, tell us what you want. Do you want us to continue on answering questions that we didn't have time to get to last week?
There are three of them.
Finish the old ones.
Finish.
Continue. Old questions. That's enough. People said finish the old ones.
There we go.
So that is it. So the next one's for me, right?
Yeah, the next one is for you.
Right.
And so now we also know why Mark basically is saying finish the old ones, because
Yeah,
he
because his
knows
question's next.
this is an old one. So, oh, John, they are never forever lost. Never, ever, ever forever lost. You kidding? We keep track of all of these things. So, all right, but Mark has a question for you. Another client had created a duplicate listing before I came on board. She was logged in with a different email. Can I ask support to delete the duplicate for her or just let it die on its own?
Oh, geez. I would. Mark, does the duplicate have any reviews on?
The one you want to get rid of. Oh.
No reviews. Okay, I wouldn't really worry about merging if there's no reviews. So, the gal that was logged in with a different email that created it. Is she still part of the company or like can you still access that listing or she's gone, she's not communicative and it's stuck out there in the ether? Oh, she's the owner. Okay, so if she still has access to the listing, I would just go mark the other one as permanently closed, the duplicate as permanently closed, leave the actual one live, and be done with it.
There's one
Would you do it
caveat.
differently?
Yeah, there's one caveat. Mark, does it have the same exact phone number and the same business name? Like, how close of a duplicate is it? The probability of two true. Yeah, okay, so it's a true dupe. Okay. In that case, actually, no. Well, my guidance would be is this, because the two phone numbers being exactly the same on both profiles, you can go the by the way, you can do the permanently closed route, but the fact of the matter is depending on category, it can hang around forever. You know, it really can. So it can cause definite ranking issues. If it's in a super sensitive category, yeah, it may delete in 72 hours, but again, it may not delete in 72 hours. So what I would do is this. Is if you want to get rid of it, then the first thing you need to do is document both public URLs for each of these profiles. Mark one as keep, mark one as merge. And then what you'll do is you will remove the one that you want to merge from, you'll remove basically any owner from it. So in other words, just going to remove it. So you go to your GBP or your owner does, and they go into, options, and they can just go ahead and remove it basically from their dashboard. Sometimes that'll just kill it, right? By the way, right? Just right there, that'll do it. Sometimes it won't. So if it doesn't, then you just reach out to support and you say, hey, I've got this one profile we want to keep. This is the profile we want to get rid of. The form is very easy to use. And then boom, they'll go ahead and they'll do the deed, whatever they need to do. It's a really straightforward process. Like Greg was saying, is like if there's no reviews, you kind of just don't care about this thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
All right. Next
Okay.
is for you from Danielle, who is also here today.
Yes.
Danielle's question. She starts by saying, "My question never made it to y'all, I guess, but it made it to us eventually today." So here's the question. Hello. One of our storage locations is going to add an EV charging station,
I love this question. Keep
from what
going.
I understand. We would add that option as a category to our listing. However, it is not an option when I try to add it from the business dashboard. It is, however, an option if I go through maps and suggest a category edit. What is the best way to get it listed? Will it go through if it is just an edit?
Okay, so first of all, your customer is a storage facility. They are not a charging station for EVs. That just is a feature of that business. So it's not a category. I wouldn't do a category. Otherwise, you're going to get an A, probably a lot of trouble from people showing up, because you're not a charging station. So what I would actually do is there is a specific feature of maps, and I forget the name of the company, but you just go ahead and you get yourself listed with this directory is what it is. And it'll automatically add that feature to your GBP, actually. And it'll also show like it's not really a citation, Nate. No, it's like a it's almost like a feed, basically, that Google trusts and use. And actually, if you all want to just chill out for a second, I'll go ahead and I'll find it really quick.
Here's the thing that I always say to car dealers that want to put in EV charging station as a category on their dealership. Do you want random ass strangers coming to the business to use the charging station for free? If the charging station is there inside the gate of the storage facility, the general public can't even get to it anyway. So why would you want to show up for that in searches? And as a dealership, your dealership, you've got an EV charging station for the EVs that you're selling, but you don't want a random person showing up at your Ford dealership driving an electric Mercedes trying to get their car charged for free. And they can't even get on the lot when the lot's not open. So you don't want to add that as a category.
Yeah, and I can't find this really quickly, so I'm gonna have to skip. But yeah, so you can edit the feature through Google Maps, number one, like you were talking about, but not a category. But I would find this feed directory Because you can just add it there, and again, you get a whole bunch of other features that kind of pop up on your GBP.
The city made us add it. What exactly does that mean, Danielle?
Sounds like she's saying the city made them add the charging station to the physical storage area.
Oh, they made you add the charging station, not they made you add it to your profile. Okay. I was wondering if she's saying the city was trying to dictate what they put on their profile, but
That's
no.
kind of that, and that's kind of cool too, by the way. I'm just saying, city probably wants to go very, very green.
Yeah.
All right.
All
Well,
right.
thank you, Danielle. That was an awesome question. All right. The next question that we have is from Wendy Moon, and she is not here today. So, Wendy, if you're listening to this on the replay, is my community band eligible for GBP? We are an MPO concert band who plays at a band shell in the park and at various events in our area. What do you think, Craig?
No.
I would actually respond with a hell no.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Sorry, that deserves this.
Correct. So the reason it's not available, allowed is well, it's not a business. Yes, it's an event, and there are events like, for instance, I go to the, gosh, what do you call it? Shit. Anyway, there's an event here in Arizona that happens every single year. It happens at the same place. Oh, the Renaissance Festival, right? So they have a GBP. Now, why do they have a GBP? Why are they allowed to have a GBP? They are allowed to have a GBP because they have been at the same location at the same time every year for at least 2 years. Yes, just like farmers markets, exactly. So that is the rule for anything which is basically considered an event. So what I would recommend that you do is wherever you are having your event at, have them list you as something that's going on, basically. That's what you do.
Boom.
Done. All
Okay.
right.
You asked me that. Now that means
Yes.
I ask you Anonymous's question.
Oh.
Does it matter the order in which additional GBP categories are added?
So the you know what, anonymous attendee, I don't know why you want to be anonymous. That's a great question, by the way. But anyway, yes. So the answer is going to be thank you for putting the word additional in there because that's the key word. And so the answer is no. It don't matter. Just remember, not who you are, what you, I'm sorry, it's not what you do, it's who you are. Okay? Just remember that. So if you are a McDonald's, you would use a restaurant, fast food restaurant. But just because you have salad, you wouldn't put down salad bar. Just saying, because you're not a salad bar. All right.
Boom.
Then our buddy Nate has a question for you. Okay. So Nate's question is this. Seems like a year or two ago, I heard Joy Hawkins say that the metrics from the insights from Google Business Profile, I refuse to use GBP because it makes me think of the Great British Pound. That is very true. Are not that accurate. Is this still the case? The answer is that the data that we have in the GBP, sorry, we have to say it, performance data is accurate. Okay. It is much more accurate than it was with Insights. This is because of the way that Google was looking at data. So with the
I guess
Insights
we're
data,
answering the questions for ourselves now because that was supposed to be you asked me that question.
so
But
that
go
is
ahead.
me answering the question that I was supposed to ask you.
Go ahead. I'll do the next one.
Oh man, okay. So anyway, the viewport basically, it was what was used to calculate insight data, which was completely wrong because you could just like look at a GBP, even if it was on your screen and it was just showing on maps, it would still count an impression, for instance. So anyway, all right. What do you have to say about that, my friend?
I don't even pay attention to the GBP. I mean, GBP insights have basically died and gone away anyway. But yeah, I never really looked at them, and now they took away all the cool stuff. So me.
I like the keywords. I still like the keywords. It's actually deadly accurate.
Yeah.
Like it's like almost Apache log file accurate. So, all right. Well, now this question is for you, my friend, which I'm going to answer, of course. So, this one comes from Nate. Not too long ago, I was optimizing an Apple Maps Connect business listing. Notice they have something comparable to GBP. I think it was called Showcase. Yeah, I know what this is too. Do you think there's any benefit to using it? Also, along those lines, do you see much value in doing Google Business Profile posts? Most of the ones I've done haven't had much interaction nor learn more. And there, of course, there's no more clicks. What do you think, bud?
Interesting that you asked me this question. Let me look up this URL.
And then Nate has a follow-up
I'm gonna
question.
share a kick-ass. What is it? It's Moz. Hold on. .com/blog/Google posts. Boom. I did a whole whiteboard Friday about this. Boom. It's a conversion factor. It's not a ranking factor. Google posts will not help you rank. They will help you convert if you do them the right way. Most of the time, oh man, I could do like 30 minutes on this answer. Most of the time, the reason you don't get interaction is you're probably not doing them right. You're probably treating them like social media, or you're putting things on there and not paying attention to what the thumbnail looks like, because Google automatically crops to a smaller version of the photo and just gives the first few lines of text, and it also the amount of text that's visible depends on which template you're using to do the post. If that thumbnail isn't compelling, nobody's gonna click on it. So that's why you don't get anything. Also, if you're posting too often, you're killing yourself because only two show up unless people scroll through it on desktop. And on mobile, they've got to scroll up to see all of them. Nobody's going to sit there and scroll through your post because this is their first impression. They haven't been to your website. They don't know anything about you. You need to use it to stand out from the competition. They need to be promotionally focused. Think of them like ads that are free that show up in your profile because that's truly what they are. Yes, they are very worth it. Yes, you can get results if you use them right. For the Apple Showcase things, I mean, if you're already doing Google posts, it's not that hard to go over to ABC and throw the same thing in there. Are you going to get much out of it? No, because people don't really use Apple Maps to search for things. They use Apple Maps to get directions to a specific location that they're looking for. So Google is about discover, Apple is about I need to get there. But it's not like it's a whole lot of effort to put it in there. And if you have some sort of promotional offer, potentially it helps them convert, maybe. I mean,
Yeah. And Michelle, your answer to your question once a week. I'm sorry, Nate, as well. Once a week is
not
more than enough.
necessarily. I would have
I
to
like it.
disagree.
Oh, why?
The reason that everyone says once a week as a cadence is
Oh, I know
because
where you're going with this.
previously, so you've got three different templates you can use. You can use the update post, you can use the event post, or you can use the, fuck, I forget what it's called, like the product. It's not a product post, it's
It's an
the
offer post.
offer post. Yeah. People like the offer post because it's got the little price tag emoji. Whoop-de-doo, who cares? If you do the offer post or the event post on the thumbnail, the first line is a specific bolded title of whatever the event or offer is. The second line is the date range. That post will only be visible during that date range and then it disappears. Then you get one line of text and the rest is truncated, and your fourth line should be your call to action button. If you use the update post, which was previously called the what's new post, it used to only last for 7 days and would then disappear and be gone. Now it lasts for 6 months. So if you have enough promotionally focused offers or things to talk about that you could do one a week, go for it. Do one a week. Or if you're a business that, like, hey, your offer on Monday is you're different from your offer on what Friday and through the weekend would be, you could do Monday and Friday every week. You don't need to do two a day ever. And honestly, if you don't have that much to talk about, or your one really compelling offer that you've tested and performs really well is really consistent, you could do one post every 6 months and you're just as fine as somebody that's doing one a week. So there's no real answer. It's more of a situation that the answer is truly
It depends.
because.
So I will respectfully disagree with you, my friend.
Well, go ahead. Tell me what your answer
Yes.
would be.
Yes. So we've been doing Google posts since they were in beta, right? And we do them for a couple thousand clients. What we know from our data, what it shows is that clients that don't do posts receive a little bit less of a ranking bump. Now, the reason, though, is not because of direct correlation of ranking to posts. It's the engagement that can occur on those posts. So by doing a post once per week, it increases the engagement signals, increases those kind of invisible, non-tangible signals, just like how you would put up a photo, right? Because you want people to look at photos. So you'll be reply to reviews because you want to get more views on those reviews, things of that nature. These invisible signals that do help indirectly. I do agree. If you don't have something to say, don't say it. That's very true. But doing something, and the posts is a something with your GBP, I think on a regular basis, based on data, it does help, I guess, really. I guess is what it comes down to. So,
Boom.
ah. So do it if you
Now,
have do it if you have content. But Nate has another question for you.
actually, Nate has another question for you.
Oh, fine. Okay, I was going to ask it to you. Go ahead.
Nate, oh wait, you just asked me that question, didn't you?
No, I did not.
What? I'm confused. I lose track. It's Friday. I've been
Ooh.
traveling a lot.
Ooh.
Ask
All
Nate's
right.
question to me if it's mine.
All right. Is there a way to really check interaction with website clicks from Apple Maps in GA? Okay, I use UTM for Google, right? Bing, but Apple Maps doesn't have UTM
I
tracking.
would defer to my answer that I just gave. People don't use Apple Maps for discovery, so who cares?
Right.
And yeah, there would be a way to see because if they're clicking through to your website, it would show that the, well, actually it wouldn't because they're not going to pass referral information. It's going to show as direct. But Nate, who cares? There can't be that many people that are clicking the website from Apple Maps. Literally, people don't go to Apple Maps for discovery. They go to Apple Maps because they have a specific location in mind and they want to know how to get there.
Yep. 100% agree, my friend.
Which means the next question is for you
All
from our
right.
buddy Steven. Other than looking at Google Maps, is there a way to see a list of all GBP listings at an address?
I don't know. I mean, I use Google Maps. I think WhiteSpark, like if you use a ranking tool, will show you if something else is at that address. I think. I'm not sure 100%. Yeah, Stephen, you could zoom in, but that's not going to give you a listing of everything at
Are
an
you,
address.
Steven, are you trying to find duplicates or you're just trying to see how many businesses are in the building? I think the yes is to yes, he's trying to find duplicates. Yeah, that's not even going to be a consistent way.
Duplicates with different names. Yeah. So he's looking for like,
That's still not,
yeah.
that's really not going to work anyway.
Like for instance, let's say you're spam hunting, right? And you have a UPS store, and that UPS store has, 100 fake Google business profiles. That's a use case for this, basically. So you could go to Google Maps at that point, look at the address, and it'll show you all the businesses there for the address. So, I mean, that's how I do it. But
Yeah.
yeah, I use Google Maps like almost exclusively for this. Right. Okay, next one's for you, my friend. This one's from Nate. Nate really likes you today. I'm just
Guess
saying.
so.
All right, you spiked my interest. While I agree, citations don't really matter much. Do you have a great blog post you can refer to me to?
The local search ranking factors study
That.
blog post is a great resource that basically tells you citations don't matter for squat. But citations
Exactly.
haven't mattered for years, so I don't really have anything to point you to other than that because nobody really writes about it anymore because they don't matter.
Yeah, and if you look back historically, actually, I would go to the ranking factors too, because Darren shows you historically how people have voted in the past. Now, granted, it's a bunch of opinions, right? It's just like, it's me and Greg saying what we think, but the entire industry pretty much thinks that citations don't matter.
Well, it's pretty easy to test too. So,
Like super simple test.
all right. Next
Okay.
question for you. Lightning round. We got a couple questions left and a couple minutes left. Mike asks, Or started with a statement. I have a client who has an e-commerce site using his own name called mcshep.com. He also owns the domain called sedonaartstudios.com, which is a lot more descriptive of what he sells. Should we move the site to sedonaartstudios.com or leave it be? If we move, what's the best way to handle the redirects?
First of all, Mike, if you're here, I mean, we
Mike's
need
here.
to
He
figure.
answered or he asked live.
All right. So, Mike, the question here is this: is like, does your client actually have a store or is it just online? You can answer the question in chat, please. Please. All right. I'll go take a look while you're asking, while you're answering, hopefully. Okay. So, let's go take a look. Let's go see what this thing looks like.
Also, Mike, get your buddy to put a security certificate on the site because this site is also not secure.
Yeah, contact literally goes to a phone number. Okay.
It looks like this is a page for an artist, not for a gallery.
This is not a gallery. Absolutely not.
So he's not
Yeah, no,
eligible.
he doesn't even
Well,
qualify
he's
for
not
Grow
asking
Business
about
Profile.
GBP though. He's asking about redirecting the site.
Oh, okay. All right, okay. That's fine. Well, anyway, he doesn't qualify for a Google Business Profile, just so you know. But as far as the redirect goes, I mean, redirects are just fine. You know, Google only cares about the experience. So, he doesn't have his own studio. Yeah, definitely not. So I personally would redirect MC Shep to Sedona Art Studios. I would just do a straight up 301 permanent redirect. Because typing in Sedona Art Studios makes so much more sense than MC Ship. I like it. It's more descriptive too.
Yep, totally.
Cool. And to close things out for today, we do have one more question from anonymous attendee. You know, I really want to meet anonymous attendee one of these days, Greg.
Yeah, me too.
You know, I mean, the questions that he, she, it gives is fantastic.
I know, right?
So,
Like,
all
this one's
right.
a really good question. I don't like, y'all, when you come in, like, let's be honest, most of you are here every 2 weeks. Like, it's the same crew of people, and we love you for coming and listening every few weeks. And I know a lot of people listen to the podcast and replays, etc. It's been a really long time since we've had an anonymous attendee question that was not a great question. I mean, for the last 6 months, every question that's come in has been a legitimate question. Like, good
Yeah,
questions. So,
exactly.
anyway, a couple minutes left. Let's do it.
All right. So thank you, anonymous attendee, and thank you all because we do love you. So, all right. So the question for you, Greg, is this. I have a client with an HVAC company. Their GPP shows their home address on the map. They recently leased an office, and we plan to change the address on the GBP to the new office. We're going to update the business name from XXXXX to XXXXX Air Conditioning and Heating. For proof of the name change, we have a DBA with the name XXX Air Conditioning, Heating, and Air Conditioning and Heating. Do you have any advice on anything we should consider?
Yeah, get ready to get suspended and not get it back. Just because you have a DBA doesn't mean in HVAC they're going to take that. You're going to have a really tough time proving that that's actually your name unless you just change the name of the business. I'm assuming XXXX doesn't have anything to do with HVAC repair, air conditioning, and heating. You're just looking at a whole can of worms to open this up. Plus, I would wonder why, if they are an HVAC company and they had their home address showing, why they would have had that showing if it was their home address. And if they're moving to an office, they're still an HVAC company. It's still a service business. Nobody comes to the office. Why would you want to have the address showing anyway? Unless you're moving because you're trying to show up in a location that you want to show up in. So you're moving downtown from the suburbs. So you show up in the big city. And just be ready to really have all of your ducks in a row to prove that that's actually the business name, which is gonna be really hard. So have fun and call Ben when you get suspended.
Yeah, because you are absolutely good. You're totally asking for it. But at the same time, you may be doing the right thing, however, for the wrong reasons, as Greg is talking about. So the thing of it just comes down to this. You're going to a location, hopefully it's not like a Regis or something like that or a WeWork. You're going to show your address. You're not going to have signage. You're not going to update your utility bills. You're not going to update your business license. And I'm saying this because this is what most people do, by the way. I'm not saying you're not specifically going to do this, but your client's going to go, "What? I don't want to do that." You may not even have that executive office, like I was saying. So you might do a shared desk. Okay. A lot of people do that too. These are all things that will get you just totally killed, basically. It'll get you completely killed when it comes to getting reinstated. So you better make sure you have your ducks in a row. And by the way, I one of the attendees did make a recommendation. We think that actually instead of XXXXX air conditioning and heating, it would make much more sense and be a lot funnier if it was triple X. Just saying. Okay. And it probably would rank better because a lot of people would link to you. So triple X air conditioning and heating. Can you imagine what that would look like, Greg?
Right.
Just saying. I mean, it sounds like a Vegas service, if you ask me. So anyway, that's all. That's pretty much it. It's like you need to have your ducks fully in a row. And I mean, that's just really it. Just prepare to be suspended. That's all. With
And with
that, we
that,
are done.
boom, another
Yes.
episode on the books.
Yes, sir. Another episode on the books. And Mark, thank you very much. That was Sherry and I actually this week did a master class with Bright Local. That was a lot of fun. Well, good travels, my friend. I'm gonna miss you not being out in the UK, but
I will miss being in the UK.
next time, man, next time.
Yep.
So everybody have a wonderful couple weeks. We will see you. You're gonna be back here in 2 weeks, right? All right, excellent. We will both see you in 2 weeks. Feel free to leave us your questions, and we will be more than happy to answer them because guess what? We don't have a backlog now. We're like actually all done. Oh, wait a minute. Greg, can you just kind of keep it going for a couple of minutes
I
here?
will keep it going for a couple of minutes. So yes, definitely make sure you go and pre-submit questions to us or bring lots of questions to the episode. Again, we love doing these live audits. We did one today. Somebody dropped in the thing about the one site, and some people in chat said they liked it. We enjoy doing it. It's a lot of fun. Make sure you come with some material for us next time, or it's going to be a really awkward episode.
Bye-bye, everybody. Have a great weekend.
Have a good weekend.